Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer.
Well, good to see all of you this morning. We want to sit at the feet of God, look at His holy Word that He inspired. We want to look in Philippians 3 today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Philippians 3. I'll start in verse 12 and then continue on from there. You know, in the movie adaptation of the book The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, they split that book into three different movies, and the first movie was called An Unexpected Journey. And Bilbo, who is a hobbit, you know, little short guy with hairy feet, you know, they're a race of beings that don't go very far from home. They don't go out into any sort of exploits. And so here's this character who doesn't go on any exploits, and all of a sudden he is kind of thrust into helping these band of dwarves take back their home at the Lonely Mountain. And he's actually kind of excited about the notion of going on a journey. And so, you know, he's leaving the Shire, and there's a hobbit asking, "Where are you going?" Because hobbits don't go anywhere. And he cries out, "I'm going on an adventure." And I bring this up because when we first come to faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, we're like Bilbo. We are starting a journey of growth that is going toward a certain destination, the destination of eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. Now, yes, a lot of times the journey seems like an adventure, all right, with a lot of twists and turns. There's harrowing situations and monsters even, I guess you could say, kind of like the books and movies. And sometimes when we hit those adventurous parts or those hard parts, we want to quit the journey. We're just like, oh, I want to give up. I don't know if I want any part of this journey. But you know what? We find in Scripture a lot of places where we are just encouraged. Don't give up. Stay on the journey. Keep advancing toward the goal and the prize that you are moving toward. And we find such a passage here in Philippians, and I pray that we find encouragement to continue advancing in this journey of the Christian life until we finally reach our destination, which is being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I want to read from verse 12 in chapter 3 to the first verse of chapter 4, if you'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy word as I read these verses. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this: "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of you who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." Let's pray. Our God in heaven, I pray that we do continue on the journey. I pray, Lord, we strive, and I pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you work in us to will and to do according to your good pleasure. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in the passage that is just previous to this passage that I read, Paul warned against boasting in your own achievements as if somehow you are the reason for your salvation rather than Jesus Christ. But he ends the section talking about what it is, though, that we strive for in this life, if we want to say in this journey, knowing Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection, sharing in Christ's suffering so we become more like him in his death, so that by any means we may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying that this is what we desire and out of this journey that we are on until we get to our destination. And then in this section, he gives us what we might call encouragement and instruction for the journey. So I want to consider several points that Paul makes about this journey and the destination that we're working toward, but I'm going to do this in the format of do's and don'ts. And just things that he says to do on the journey, things that he says don't do on the journey that we are on with Jesus Christ. And so the first point that Paul wants to make is a don't. We don't want you to be discouraged that you're not there yet. You're not there yet. You're not where you want to be yet. Don't be discouraged. Now, Paul has made a point in Philippians to talk about we are growing and we are maturing in the faith. And the thing is that, you know, maturing is part of the journey until we get to our destination. We are, until we're at the resurrection, until we're glorified, until we are in that eternal state with Jesus Christ, we are moving and we are maturing, but it's not something that happens all at once. So don't be discouraged, you're not there all at once. Paul says in verse 12, he hasn't obtained the goal of the journey yet. He says in verse 12, he isn't already perfect. He says in verse 13 that he hasn't made the prize his own yet. Yes, Paul wants to know Christ. He wants to know the power of his resurrection and all the other things that are mentioned in verses 10 and 11 in that previous passage, but he's not there yet. He's still journeying. And so he isn't where he wanted to be. He isn't who he wanted to be yet. But the fact that he wasn't there yet, that he wasn't going to let that discourage him from moving on. He wasn't going to allow that to harm his walk with Christ. He wasn't going to cause discouragement to turn him from the journey. Maturing in Christ is part of the journey. And so here is Paul, I mean, someone who we might say and look at as the epitome of the Christian faith. I mean, you think of someone who's following Christ. I mean, Paul is it. But he's stating he's not where he wants to be yet. He's stating he isn't who he wants to be yet, and we're no different. See, that's the thing with the journey. You're advancing, you're getting closer, but until you reach the destination, you're not there yet. You haven't reached your goal. Now, when you first start on the journey, you have a long way to go until you hit the end. Then later on, let's say you hit the halfway mark of the journey. You know what? You are a lot closer to the goal than you were before, than when you first started. But you still have a long way to go yet. You've advanced since the beginning, but you are not there yet. And we look at the Christian life as part of, you know, that it's this journey, in terms of a journey. I have started this journey. It's going to lead me to know Christ more. It's going to lead me to know the power of his resurrection more. It's going to lead me to be conformed into the likeness of his death more, but I'm not there yet. So I can't get frustrated with myself that I'm not there yet. I'm on the journey. I might be halfway there yet. I've learned things. I've matured, but guess what? I'm not there yet. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be yet. But I'm becoming more of it on the journey. That's the nature of the journey. I won't let any of the, you know, I won't be any of the things that he mentioned. I won't fully know Christ. I won't know fully the power of his resurrection until I reach the goal. So we can't be discouraged when we're on this journey and we hit some rough spots. Or that we don't, you know, we're not there yet. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be, because that is part of the journey. You're not going to be perfect in this life. Is there any other perfect people here? I'm looking, better put your hand down. So none of us are. We are not there yet. You're not going to hit the summit of spirituality while on this earth the way it is on this journey. But you learn from the journey. And you can rejoice that even though you aren't where you want to be and even though you aren't who you want to be, thanks to him, you aren't who you used to be and where you used to be. And so enjoy that part of the journey. He is moving me. Don't be discouraged that you're not where you want to be quite yet. So you keep on. So that leads to the next point. Secondly today, the point that Paul makes is, this is a do. Do pursue the journey with all your might. Do pursue the journey with all your might. Paul says in verse 12 that even though he hasn't obtained the goal, nor is he perfect, he's going to press on. And again in verse 14, he says he is going to press on toward the goal. You know, the idea there is one of striving and chasing and running after something. He has a goal. He described the goal in verse 14 as the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Or again, as he said in the previous passage, knowing Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection, becoming like him until we finally attain to the resurrection. And he's going to press on. He's going to pursue that goal until he gets to the end. So what Paul is using very much is the imagery of running a race, doing a running race. You know, we would think maybe of the Olympic sports, maybe the track and field area. You run and you keep on running until you cross the finish line. You know, sure, on the journey, there might be obstacles, just like sometimes when you're running, there's hurdles on the track that you have to jump over. But you know what? You jump over those hurdles, and you keep going. I mean, have you ever seen an Olympian run up to a hurdle, just stop and say, forget it, and walk away? No, they run, because they know they're running for the prize. You go, and you don't stop until you reach the end. And Paul's trying to encourage the Philippian church and trying to encourage us to keep on keeping on. But don't do it just as a leisurely pace. You know, you go full steam. When a runner is running a race in the Olympics, I mean, they don't kind of go at a pace like they're trying to take in the scenery. I mean, you've never seen, you know, the gun goes off and then, you know, they push off on that thing and they start. Most of the runners start running, but you don't see any runners just kind of walking along, looking around like, isn't this nice? What a nice day. No, they run. They keep going, keeping their eyes on the goal, and they're not going to let anything stop them from finishing strong. They're going to run with all their might, and that's what Paul wants from us in this journey. Run with all your might. The way he put it in our passage is, first, in verse 13, he says, forget what lies behind. You don't look at what's behind you, because what's behind you is going to distract you. It's going to slow you down. It's going to cause you to stumble. I mean, I'm a very clumsy person. I mean, if I would be walking and looking behind me, trust me, I'm going to trip over something. I'm going to run into something. I can't do that walking, much less running. And we're supposed to be running. Don't look behind. Your eyes are straight forward to the prize. So you don't look back at your past failures, living in regret and worry about the bad choices that you made in the past. The past is in the past. There's nothing you can do about it. If there's something you need to confess and repent, you confess and repent, and you keep moving forward. My past is in the past, but from now on, I'm moving forward with Jesus Christ. Neither do you look behind you at your past successes, or maybe what you think are past successes. We think of what Paul said in the previous passage where he said, look, if I was able to obtain this through good works, through just my own kind of works. He said, look, I was Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I had that down pat. But that's nothing to me. I count all that stuff as loss for the prize that is Jesus Christ. Keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. So we don't look at what we might consider past successes. Oh, look at me. Boy, did that. I had a spiritual high. I had a mountaintop experience. Because your success back then doesn't give you an edge in the here and now. Again, the past is in the past. You don't look back there. You keep your eyes on the prize. Don't look behind you to see what other people are doing. They are on their own journey. You are on your own journey. They're on their own journey. Their journey doesn't affect your journey. What are you doing in your own journey? I guess as the saying goes, mind your business. Concentrate on your journey with Christ. Yeah, but this person over here, who cares? What are you doing? Yeah, if you want to encourage them in their journey, yes. But we're not looking back, well, we're not comparing. Our journeys are not a comparison. Paul says, forget what lies behind. But he then says, strain forward to what lies ahead and pass on toward the goal, or press on toward the goal. Just keep going. You know, the word for strain there means to stretch forward. When you watch, you know, maybe you're watching a race and the runners are running and there's a whole bunch of them right there together getting to that finish line. And so they're trying to find whatever edge they can to win. So some of them, you know, they're leaning over, trying to get their head over. Some of them are kind of leaning their arm over, trying to be the first to cross that goal. They put all this effort in trying to cross that goal. And Paul is saying that's how we are. We are stretching. We are straining. We are constantly working toward that goal in our journey. And so maybe another way, and this is a way that Paul puts it elsewhere, is that Paul's encouraging us to run like we want to win. Now, the Christian life isn't a competition. I mean, I'm not trying to beat you to the line or anything like that. But what he's trying to get across is we don't treat it like it's this leisurely stroll either. This is not a Sunday afternoon drive. Don't treat the journey like you're a lukewarm, lazy, pew potato Christian, right? Press on in the journey with all your might. And so that's the attitude that he wants from Christians. And he says in verse 15 that mature Christians will think this way. And if you don't think this way, get with God and he'll make you think that way. Because this is what God expects. Run on the journey with all your might. And then Paul gives a third encouragement, another do. Do find godly examples to follow. Do find godly examples to follow. So he encourages us to run on this journey with all our might. But Paul wants us to know we are not alone, and there are those that have gone before that can serve as examples, pressing on, those who have gone before us. We're not looking behind to see what everyone else is doing, but we're looking forward and seeing, you know what, this saint of God, this is how they lived their life, this is how they did it, and it's an encouragement to see how they made it. And so he's saying, let the stories of Christians who have gone before you motivate you to keep going on the journey. I mean, yeah, the journey looks adventurous. It looks perilous. If you're looking forward in the journey, you can't see very far, but you don't know what sort of hills and valleys there's going to be. But no matter how perilous it looks, you keep going. And because there are saints of old who have gone before and have made it. And Paul says, you know, those saints, those mature saints, those who have gone before, imitate them. Paul first says, imitate me. Join together in imitating me. You know, this isn't some sort of arrogant thing, statement, you know, as if Paul is saying, well, I have it all together, so everyone just needs to do what I do. But he is saying that even though I haven't obtained it, I haven't gotten the prize yet, I haven't reached perfection or anything like that, but I have been on this walk longer than you. I'm mature. Follow me. So he's farther along on the journey. He's learned some things along the way. He has experience. He has maturity under his belt. He's been in the trenches. He's fought the battles. And he's remained faithful in following Jesus Christ. And ultimately, this is where Paul is pointing toward. The more that Paul walks with Christ, the more he imitates Christ. And so the more he imitates Christ, others can imitate the Christ that is in him. So Paul says the same thing elsewhere in several of his letters, actually. But for example, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Just imitate the Christ that is in me. But Paul doesn't want us to think that he's the end-all, be-all of all things. And so he points to others as well. He says in verse 17, keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. Look to other Christians who have gone before, who have walked this Christian journey, and see how they pressed on. Be encouraged by the way that they overcame the obstacles, the trials, and how they kept their eye on the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Look at how they strain forward to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. If you look in history has no lack of brothers and sisters in Christ who by their example of pressing on helps encourage us to press on as well toward the goal. If you want to find encouragement in the journey, read the biographies of those who have walked the journey. and be lifted up by their stories of faithfulness. Read about Jim Elliot, who knew that getting the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing, and he went to a hostile tribe knowing the dangers, and he was martyred for trying to bring the gospel to them. And then his wife, Elizabeth, who came to those same natives who killed her husband, sharing the gospel more and leading them to faith in Jesus Christ. Be encouraged by those stories. Be encouraged by stories, even more modern example. Look up the ministry of Nick and Ruth Ripken. Insanity of God is the book about their ministry, and they have a movie about it as well. How they work with the persecuted church and read the stories about the persecuted church, and how even in the midst of persecution, they kept on the journey. They kept moving forward. And as we read this about looking to the examples, we not only want to consider how they can be an example to us, we want to consider how are we being an example to others. Would Paul or somebody be able to point to us and say, if you need encouragement in the journey of this Christian walk, look to him. Look to her. And if no one is able to point at you as an example, why not? So exemplary lives are an encouragement for the journey. But part of the encouragement is also, it comes with a warning. So the fourth point that Paul makes in this passage, it's a don't. Don't follow those who abandon Christ. Don't follow those who abandon Christ. In verses 18 and 19, Paul warns the church that there are those they should not follow, because even though they claim a form of Christianity, they're actually enemies of the cross. Now, in the passage that came prior to this one, Paul warned against the people who would try and divert the church from their journey. He calls them dogs. He calls them evildoers. He calls them mutilators. And he's referring to the Judaizers who tried to tell the churches, if you want to be saved, yeah, you believe in Jesus, but you also have to follow Jewish law, Jewish traditions, and Jewish holidays, and all of that in order to be saved. And Paul says, don't listen to them. They're dogs. They're evildoers. They're mutilators. And he says the same thing here in this passage. I think he's trying to make a point. Look out for those false teachers that are out there. And so, you know, in the passage we look at today, he might be thinking about those Judaizers, but he might also be making a broad warning to look out for these people. There are, just like back in his day, there are so many people that have tried to pervert the true Christian faith. And Paul says, beware of them and don't follow them. They may claim Christ. Just because somebody claims Christ doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to follow them. Have discernment. Are they following the Christ of the Bible? And so now this is the way that he describes them, these people in this passage. Their end is destruction. That means that even though they claim to know Christ, they don't know Christ, and they're headed for the condemnation of hell rather than the bliss of heaven. He says that their God is their belly. He isn't just talking about gluttony, to the praise of all the Baptists in the room. But what he is describing is that their lusts and their desires is what's driving them. Whatever they live to fulfill whatever it is that their sinful desire and nature wants, whether it's physical, sexual, otherwise, whatever my desires want. That's how I'm going to live. And you notice, if you notice, you're on social media, you're here, any of the false teachers that are out there, that's what drives their interpretation of Scripture. Biblical context, historical context, cultural context, who needs that? It's my desire context. That's how I'm going to interpret Scripture. Beware. Their God is their belly, their desires. Then he says that they glory in their shame. So he's saying that the things that you should be ashamed about, the sin that you should be ashamed about, that's actually what they boast about. The sin that should be repented of, the sin that at minimum should be kept in the dark, that's the very thing that they flaunt out in the open. And therefore, Paul says, they have their minds on earthly things. They're not thinking heavenly. You know, Paul in Colossians said, keep your mind above on those things that are heavenly. These people, all they think about is earthly, my desires, what I want. It's all about me. They're thinking according to their fallen, cursed mindset. The mindset, the nature that separates them from God. All throughout Scripture, there's warnings about these people. For example, in Jude, it's a one chapter book, but in verses 3 and 4, Jude says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who," what do? "Who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Jude is saying, look, I would love to have written you and just encouraged you in the common salvation we have, but because of all these Yahoo false teachers out there, I felt a need to write to you to encourage you to contend for the faith, the body of belief that has been handed down to you from the apostles, from God. Because people have crept in. They're sneaky. You know, most false teachers don't just walk out there and say, "Hey, I'm a false teacher. Follow me." There's a reason Jesus uses the imagery of a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's who they are. They were long ago designated for that condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, you may name the name of Christ in your religion, but you are not Christian. You're an enemy of the cross. See, Paul doesn't use fluffy words. He just puts it right out there. Look, if you're preaching a different Jesus, you're an enemy of the cross. Oh, Paul, you're not being very nice. You're being... It's the truth. You're an enemy of the cross. Think about recent events that just happened. So over the past many years, like many of the Protestant, you know, mainline Protestant denominations have, you know, over the past many years, the United Methodist Church just has become more liberal and more liberal and more liberal. But thankfully, there were many who were not. But the denomination itself became so bad that the churches who loved Jesus, who believed in the Bible, they just said, "We're walking away. We're leaving." The churches that still believed in the vision that John Wesley had all those centuries ago. And so it's estimated, I don't know if I got the number right, but it's estimated that about a quarter, maybe more, of churches in the United Methodist Church left the denomination over the past few years. So, but now, because the Bible-believing, Christ-loving churches left the denomination, guess what that left in the denomination? So this past week, the United Methodists repealed a ban on LGBTQ clergy being ordained. There was no debate about it. They just put it to a vote. With over 93% voting to lift the ban. And they think it's some sort of victory. There's videos out there of them dancing and stuff like that. Obviously, they're not Baptists because they were dancing, but they were getting so excited about it. Like they did something special, like they had some sort of victory when they were glorying in their shame. I mean, praise God for the 6.5% or whatever churches that voted against it, but what's going to happen? Those 6.5% churches are going to leave the denomination. There's going to be another exodus from the United Methodist churches. So these are the ones that Paul's warning against. Don't follow them. They're not Christians. They're enemies of Christ. They're going to divert you from your journey. They're not going to encourage you in your journey. So don't follow them. There are people to follow. There are people don't follow. Well, one final point real quick, and we'll make it positive. We'll make it a do. Do look forward to the blessings of the destination. Look forward to the blessings of the destination. Paul says that even though all this mess is going on in the world, well, guess what? Our citizenship isn't here anyway. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that is a present reality. We might not be in the consummated kingdom yet, but right now, if you're in Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And that should be an encouragement that, yeah, okay, I'm walking on this journey. There's hurdles, there's things going on, but you know what? It don't matter because I'm not a citizen of this earth anyway. My citizenship belongs in heaven. I'm not going to be here on this earth forever. Guess what? Here's the statistic. For every one person that's born, one person dies. Right? Everyone who's born dies. We are not going to be on this earth forever. And that's why we need to be making ready for our life where our true citizenship lies. And so we walk this journey knowing that. I belong to that kingdom because I belong to Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 20, we're awaiting that Savior. We're awaiting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Paul is looking toward the end of the journey. I'm either going to die, Jesus is going to come back, one of the two. Guess what? Either way, I made my destination if I'm in Christ. And so in our destination, we get to see Jesus face to face. You know, we've been journeying and we've been struggling on this earth. Finally, we are going to come to the end of the journey. We're going to reach our destination. And so he says, let that encourage you. There is an end. And that end is glorious if you are in Jesus Christ. And he's thinking, too, of the resurrection. You know, we stop at heaven. But Paul and the apostles, they looked beyond heaven to when there's a new heaven and new earth and resurrected bodies, where you don't have to deal with allergies and where you don't have aches and pains and things like that. And so he says in verse 21, this is what he's looking forward to. Jesus is going to transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. The power of the resurrection that Paul talked about, you know, in the previous passage, it's going to come to full reality in our life. I'm going to get it. Now here, we're able to tap into that power in a limited way, but then when Christ returns, guess what? Full experience. We will know Christ. We will know the power of his resurrection. We will be completely conformed into his likeness then. That's the full blessing of being a Christian. Being with Christ in a resurrected body in a new heaven and a new earth. And all sin and evil cease to exist because all of it's been tossed into the lake of fire. That's something to look forward to. That ought to encourage us to press on with all our might in this journey. And so I believe to finish this section, and maybe it's kind of a transition into the next the next section, you have chapter 4, verse 1. And Paul, you know, he tells them, the Philippian church, how much he loves them. But then he exhorts them. He says, in light of all these truths, stand firm. Stand firm. Don't be moved from the path. Don't allow anything to push you off the path. Don't be distracted by anything that would make you turn to the right or to the left from the path. Stand firm in Jesus Christ. Remember the narrow gate and the difficult road. That's the journey. Don't go for the broad gate and the broad road, the big road, the easy road. There's only one way, and that's in Jesus Christ. But let that be an encouragement to you that, you know what, there is an end to this journey. And for those in Christ, it is wonderful. So be encouraged in this journey. And, you know, I'll close with this thought. I mean, if you haven't already, I encourage you to read the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I know it was written several hundred years ago, but there's been, you know, it's been modernized into modern English, but it's a wonderful allegory of the journey from the city of destruction, which is the world, to the celestial city, which is heaven. The journey, yes, it's fraught with perils and monsters, but it's also filled with blessing. There are friends. There are enemies. But Christian, who is the pilgrim in the book, he presses on with all his might, and he never gives up. The enemy throws a whole lot of stuff at him. A lot of things happen along the way, but he never gives up. He continues the journey until he reaches the destination that we would be so encouraged to do the same. So, Christian, maybe you need some encouragement for the journey. Come to the altar and ask God for strength to help you to press on, to strain ahead, keep on the journey with all your might. And let's pray that we are not a church that is filled with lukewarm, pew potato Christians, but we are warriors that are going forth in the battle. But there may be some here who you're not even on the journey. You don't even know the journey that I'm talking about. I mean, this is the journey to eternal life. This is the journey to be with God forever. And there's only one path that is the journey that brings you to that destination of God in heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That path is Jesus Christ, who died for sin, who rose again so that all who believe in him do not perish but have eternal life. If you haven't even started the journey yet, I mean, yeah, I'm doing religious stuff. Well, that's not the journey. You're doing your own thing. Well, you know, I'm being nice to people. Well, good. I'm glad you're nice to people. That's not the journey. That's not the path. Narrow gate, difficult path, only one way. It's narrow, and it's Jesus Christ. That's it. Oh, Al, you're so intolerant. Well, I'm intolerant because my God is intolerant, and my God set up one way. Don't you think all paths lead to God? No. That's broad. Jesus said it's narrow. It's him and him alone. If you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, believe in him today.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at KidsQuest_HBC. Our student ministries on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We are located at 8999 Waltrana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening. And God bless.